and
a new website has been established to help pastors use an upcoming movie as a topic for their sermons.
The third movie based on C.S. Lewis's children's stories, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, is due in theaters next month. In anticipation of that event, NarniaFaith.com has been set up to provide clergy with sermon outlines, youth study resources, and a sign-up sheet for screenings of the film in their area. The website also provides an intimate look at Lewis through the eyes of executive producer Douglas Gresham, stepson to the renowned Christian scholar and writer. Bernie Bennett, SRN News.
An anti-fur bill has been put on hold in Israel over concerns by ultra-Orthodox Jewish leaders that it could impact production of the fur hats worn by some Hasidic men on holidays and festival occasions. To combat growing secularization of Jews to European society in the 18th century, Hasidic Jews decided that their way of dress should remain unchanged, not be influenced by fashion, hence those fur hats. This is SRN News. Have you seen them yet? TV and billboard ads are popping up around the country touting the benefits of the enormous national debt.
The ads feature fictional presidential candidate Hugh Gidette, cheering the more than $13 trillion debt, advocating its continuing growth by suggesting we borrow like there's no tomorrow. The nonprofit group behind the campaign says the real point is to get people talking about how to reverse the country's growing debt.
That's SRN's Rich Thomason reporting. Vermont State Police say a 22-year-old man has admitted to making up a report that he was stabbed Halloween night by somebody in a guerrilla suit. Police say Donald Gold of West Paulette initially told investigators that the guerrilla man stabbed him with a needle-like device when he answered the door, then took off running. Gold was taken to a hospital in Glen Falls, New York, for treatment. Police now say Gold admitted that he made up the story and made the puncture wound himself. This is SRN News.
The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. And now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is on, and we thank you for listening. Today we're tackling reverse your hearing loss with guest expert audiologist Dr. Scott Sims of the Physician's Choice Hearing and Dizziness Center in Tampa, Florida. But first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with over 1,000 women during each of our last two events, and a combined 7,500 hours of education on those 2 days, is supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based healthcare safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The result, better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families through the immediate impact of direct with the expert health education. And every 2 months, I'd like to share with you that the Tampa Bay Women's Newspaper carries one of my columns on or highlighting a case that we've discussed on radio, how we've transformed a family or helped a family, or at the symposium. And these Tampa Bay Women's Newspapers are free and can be found at over 3,000 Tampa Bay area locations, such as medical offices, health clubs, specialty organic grocery stores, and hair and beauty salons, etc. The articles are educational, informational, and resourceful, and also include upcoming radio show topics. So we have them available for you out there and take advantage of them when you see them. Today we're talking about hearing and reversing your hearing loss, something that each and every one of us can appreciate, whether or not we use our iPods or MP3 players too loud, or we've had experience on an airplane, there was changing our hearing. This is the opportunity to ask questions about all these things that we've kind of experienced and maybe have questions about, not sure about how we can prevent hearing loss or altered hearing. And with us is Dr. Scott Sims, who has been trained to diagnose and treat hearing impairment, tinnitus, and we'll talk about what that is, and vertigo. We can also talk about that. Dr. Sims has been practicing in Tampa and Sun City Center for 14 years. He received his graduate education at the University of Tennessee and performed his doctoral work at the Arizona School of Health Sciences. Scott is board certified in audiology by the American Board of Audiology, and he is clinically certified in audiology by the American Speech Language Hearing Association. He's a fellow of the American Academy of Audiology, the Florida Academy of Audiology, and the Florida Speech Language Hearing Association. Dr. Sims enjoys improving people's lives through better hearing. And Scott, it's great to have you here today.
Thank you, doctor. It's great to be here.
Well, I want to share with you the phone numbers to call in. We're here until 2 o'clock, so it's a good time to take a break and call in with your questions. Our phone number is 289-1860 in Hillsborough County, 289-1860. Outside of Hillsborough County is toll-free 877-969-8600. So call now with your questions. We're here for you. Scott, let's talk about the hearing process, the anatomy of hearing. Let's talk a little bit about how we're designed as human beings to hear. Let's start with the beginning.
Great. Well, the auditory system is actually a very intricate system. When sound first enters our ear, it does so through the pinna, which is the cartilaginous and fleshy structure that we think of as our external ear on the side of the head.
So that's the part that everyone sees when they look at our faces. They see this cartilage. That's what it's predominantly made out of.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And in fact, it actually funnels sound into the ear canal.
Okay.
And
So the shape of that cartilage on the side of our heads actually is designed to collect sound.
Yes. Yes. And in fact, it's biased towards the front so that we, I suppose, can hear a little bit better from the front.
Mm-hmm.
And from an evolution standpoint, I'm not really sure why we developed that way, but I can say that it has a lot of advantages today in terms of understanding people that we're looking at, mm-hmm. what they're saying. And once sound enters the ear canal, then it's funneled down to the eardrum or tympanic membrane.
Okay. And through that cavity through which the sound travels, that's the cavity, that's the area that sometimes each of us may have gotten swimmer's ear when we were younger, the external canal?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's very important that canal is healthy, is clear of excess wax or infection. We want that to be clear. We don't want a large growth in the canal impeding sounds travel through that canal.
Okay. Let's talk, again, as we go through this, things that come up we'll talk a little bit about. You brought up wax in the ear. That's got to be a very common problem for patients, which can impact their hearing.
It certainly is. We have glands, sebaceous glands, in our ear canal that produce both oil and wax or cerumen. And a little bit of cerumen or wax is very healthy, very normal. It helps maintain, for instance, a positive pH value in the canal.
I was going to ask you, what's the purpose of that, of a waxy or oily substance lining this canal through which the sound travels?
Well, it's thought to help maintain the health of the canal by maintaining a healthy pH value. Some have even noted that they believe it may keep insects out.
Okay, so it may be a defense against external microbial microorganisms.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's and the fascinating thing about the ear canal is that the wax actually clears the canal on its own as the skin in the ear canal grows radially and outwards from the ear drum or tympanic membrane. The skin travels out of the canal and flakes and falls out, and normally it will carry the wax with it.
Okay. So there's a process of replenishment.
Yes.
The dead cells slough and are carried out and allowing the fresh cells to mature.
That's correct.
Okay. And during that cleaning process, again, it tends to keep the area clean of microbes, maybe debris, allergens, toxins that have filtered in there through the environment.
Absolutely. That's correct. again, it normally exits the canal on its own. In some cases, though, wax can be problematic if it doesn't clear and starts to build up and potentially block the canal, for instance.
And how, you know, and since the wax is there for a reason, so, does that opening or the canal have to be occluded, say, with wax or some other lesion, for example, before it impacts the hearing or the sound getting to the eardrum?
Sound will get through if there's only a tiny slit through the wax.
Will the quality of the sound be altered if there's only a tiny slit through which the sound can get there?
No, not as a general statement.
Okay.
It takes a total occlusion for there to be an impact on the sound, A, or B, the wax actually pressing against the eardrum or tympanic membrane.
I see. So do you see, I imagine patients sometimes go to their doctor, I don't know if an audiologist would do this, but or an ENT, but to have excess wax removed.
Sure.
Now, those patients with excess wax in their ear canal, what is the general complaint? If it's not a total occlusion, is it irritating at some point? Or,
as a general statement, we see these cases where the complaint will be sudden hearing loss.
Okay.
And it'll be a wax occlusion.
Okay, complete occlusion.
Correct. And then we remove the wax and the hearing's restored almost immediately. As far as discomfort, normally that would come if some moisture or water had been trapped behind the wax and some type of infection had formed.
I see. I could see how that could be a risk factor, actually, for an infection behind that waxy buildup, water being trapped behind there. So people that tend to get a excessive amount of wax produced in their ear canal, is it wise for them to do anything, for example, let's say they're swimmers, there's anything they can do to help prevent water from getting trapped behind there?
Sometimes, I know this over time, swimmers have been recommended. There are certain drops or possibly alcohol, or in some cases, ear, nose, and throat physicians may recommend a solution of distilled white vinegar and rubbing alcohol to keep the canal clear and to keep it healthy.
And how frequently, if you know you tend to build up lots of wax in the ear canal, is it recommended to have it removed periodically or only when your hearing has been affected?
In those cases, I would definitely recommend those patients follow up annually or semi-annually with their ear, nose, and throat physician or possibly their primary practitioner to have the wax removed. Potential problems occur where the patient tries to remove the wax themselves, for instance, with the use of Q-tips.
Mm-hmm. And of course, can cause bleeding and other traumatic and infection after the trauma.
Absolutely. Q-tips are a real problem for us, and we've seen a lot of instances over time where the even the soft cotton can take off a couple layers of skin. They potentially cut the canala, as you mentioned, with the end of the stick. The ironic thing with Q-tips is they're generally about the same diameter as the ear canal itself. So rather than actually removing wax, often people will pack the wax down into the canal, kind of like an old-time musket.
I see. Not a good idea. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more. In the meantime, call in with your questions now. In Hillsborough County, 289-1860. We're traveling down the ear canal, going to the membrane, the tympanic membrane. Be right back.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. The best way to prepare yourself for what's coming up after the midterm election is to subscribe to Town Hall Magazine. Now, more than ever, you'll need Town Hall Magazine's fresh, intelligent reporting to dissect the meaning of the 2010 midterms and how the new landscape will affect the economy, taxes, immigration, and health care in 2011 and set the stage for the presidential elections in 2012. Log on to townhallmagazine.com today. Find out about a very special free bonus with your subscription. Townhallmagazine.com.
Buying or selling a home or commercial property? Considering building or renovating? Maybe you just need an unbiased professional opinion. Britannia Building Consultants is the answer. BBC Home Inspections have saved clients time, money, and ensured their safety over 20,000 times. BBC aims at delivering exceptional value. There is simply no equal to partnering with BBC. Call our office at any time at 727-446-0110 or visit us on the web at BritanniaBCI.com.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Their mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit FocusOnFemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702. Thank you.
For the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. He has written a best-selling, award-winning book, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome, published by Yale University Press. Dr. Maskin manages dry eye disorders using, when needed, innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has successfully managed difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He has been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2010. And as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America, we hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you have not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Focus. Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. in Hillsboro, 289-1860. And everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Today we're talking about reversing your hearing loss with guest expert, audiologist Dr. Scott Sims of the Physician's Choice Hearing and Dizziness Center in Tampa, Florida. And Scott, why don't you give that phone number if patients are interested in calling, getting some personal, you know, information about their case.
Sure. Our phone number is area code 813-558-1477. Again, that's for Physician's Choice Hearing and Dizziness Center in Tampa in Sun City, Florida. And don't hesitate to ask for me, Dr. Scott Sims, when you call.
Okay. Now, we're traveling down the auditory system, the hearing system. We talked about the collecting device, the external device, which is known as the pinna, as you mentioned, that we see on the sides of our heads. Angled forward, as you pointed out, helping us hear better for sounds coming from the front of us. And we go going down the ear canal, and the first structure, I guess, we get to is the tympanic membrane, correct?
Yes. Yes, the tympanic membrane, or eardrum. I think of it often like the head of a drum. It's in a healthy case, it has no holes in it, and it's pulled rather taut. And sound, as it moves down the ear canal, is a pressure wave. And it pushes back and forth on the tympanic membrane as these pressure waves hit it. Now, the movement of the tympanic membrane moves three bones in the middle ear. And in common parlance, they're called the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup.
Hammer, anvil, and stirrup.
Sure.
And they're connected to the tympanic membrane. And then what's on the other side of the three bones?
Sure. Now, on the other side of these three bones, which we call technically the three bones again, the malleus, the incus, and the stapes, is the inner ear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the bones are aligned large to small, with the largest of the three being attached, the malleus being attached to the eardrum or tympanic membrane. Now, the movement of this large bone, it moves the even smaller incus, which moves the smallest of the three bones, the stapes. Now, this is kind of like a gearing system or a lever action system,
mm-hmm,
that actually acts in a healthy system to amplify sound.
Okay.
The stapes, the foot plate of it, presses into the inner ear or cochlea. Now, the inner ear or cochlea is a fluid-filled cavity, and when the stapes pushes into it, it creates a motion in the fluid of this inner ear. A wave is created. Now, as the wave moves back and forth in the inner ear or cochlea, it bends hair cells. These specialized hair cells are attached to nerves, and the movement of these hair cells generates a neural stimulus that shoots to the brain through the auditory nerve, where it is interpreted as sound.
Excellent. Excellent. So from where we began this journey, on the outside of our head, now we're in the brain through a system, a duct or a canal. At the end of the canal is this tympanic membrane. Attached to the tympanic membrane is a series of three successively smaller bones. At the end of the last bone is attached to the cochlea. Inside the cochlea is a fluid-filled cavity with hair cells. And then ultimately, the hair cells send a signal along the nerve system to the auditory nerve of the brain, which is a cranial nerve.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. That's okay. Correct, Hector.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fascinating. And, you know, we do have a caller. Let's go to the caller's question and come back with more on this. Sandra from Tampa, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you very much. I would like to speak to Dr. Sims about two things, if I may.
Sure.
The first one is, he was speaking about earwax. I'm back with the earwax still.
Okay.
I've heard that excess earwax can cause inflammation if it's not removed, I guess, fairly quickly, and that in turn can cause ringing in the ear. Is this true?
So can excess earwax
right.
cause
inflammation,
mm-hmm.
and then that in turn may cause ringing in the ear. Is this true?
Actually, I'm not sure what would be inflamed.
Let's go backward, if I may. Let's go backward. Can any inflammation inside the ear canal or even the tympanic membrane, any inflammation there cause tinnitus or ringing in the ear?
There are cases where tinnitus or tinnitus, it's pronounced both ways, can be caused by earwax. As a general statement, though, we would expect that to occur when the wax were against the tympanic membrane. I'm not really familiar with cases of earwax, though, causing inflammation. I would say that the inflammation would be secondary to an infection, though, that might be brought about by the presence of a large amount of earwax or cerumen in the canal.
And we'll talk more about tinnitus. And in fact, we're at a hard break, so we'll be back with more. Sandra, stick with us. We'll be back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Now's your chance. Call in with your questions. 289-1860. Call now.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. NATO says five of its troops have been killed in Afghanistan. Denmark says one of them was a Danish soldier killed by a roadside bomb. The other four have not been identified. A senior Israeli intelligence official says Hamas has rockets with a range of 50 miles now, putting the coastal metropolis of Tel Aviv within range. The official accuses Egypt of not doing enough to stem smuggling through a network of tunnels along the border between its Sinai Desert and the Gaza Strip. A new study finds job stress can take a toll on a woman's heart just as it can in men. Researchers say women who have jobs with big demands but little authority, 40% more likely than women with less job stress, to suffer a heart attack or a stroke. And a Michigan teen and two others are charged with fatally stabbing their father and seriously wounding their mother. The intruders in Halloween masks climbed through the window Thursday night and attacked Paul and Mara Skinner. More details on these and other stories at srnnews.com.
Don't you feel sorry for Nancy Pelosi?
It was a tough loss.
She's not going to be Speaker of the House anymore.
No regrets, because we believe we did the right thing and we worked very hard.
She's going to lose her gavel and her big office and her private Air Force jet.
Those of us who are engaged in government and politics know who's boss.
So let's all show some sympathy for poor Nancy Pelosi. Talk Radio 860, WGUL.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. The best way to prepare yourself for what's coming up after the midterm election is to subscribe to Town Hall Magazine. Now, more than ever, you'll need Town Hall Magazine's fresh, intelligent reporting to dissect the meaning of the 2010 midterms and how the new landscape will affect the economy, taxes, immigration, and health care in 2011 and set the stage for the presidential elections in 2012. Log on to townhallmagazine.com today. Find out about a very special free bonus with your subscription. Townhallmagazine.com.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Welcome back. We are on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We are tackling reverse your hearing loss with guest expert audiologist Dr. Scott Sims of the Physician's Choice Hearing and Dizziness Center in Tampa, Florida, and Sun City, Florida. On the line is Sandra, who is called asking questions, has two questions. First one about earwax and whether or not earwax can cause secondary ringing in the ears, also known technically as tinnitus. And Scott, you began discussing that an irritation of the tympanic membrane can cause it's one of many causes of tinnitus. The question was, but as you pointed out, for earwax to cause that is unusual. It have to be either against the tympanic membrane, or it would have to have caused or be in association with trapped water behind the wax, which could cause infection, inflammation, and so forth. Is that accurate, or if not, if you could clarify?
No, that is correct. There are, again, as you mentioned, potentially a couple dozen different causes of tinnitus or tinnitus, but that certainly would be one of them. A lot of times when the wax is against the eardrum, it'll be a pulsatile tinnitus. In fact, what individuals in that case may be hearing is the pulsing of blood through the middle ear, through the jugular vein or jugular bulb.
Sandra, do you have tinnitus? Do you have ringing in your ears?
Once in a while, but only when there's wax there that I haven't removed yet.
That you haven't removed. Are you going in your ear, Sandra?
No.
Okay.
No. If I use the term irritation instead of inflammation, can wax, excess wax that is not removed, cause irritation in the ear?
I think it'll cause if potentially by irritation, if you mean in itching, certainly. I think it's very common for excess wax to cause some itching. Unfortunately, a lot of people will try to scratch it with something like, say, a Q-tip. That'll actually make the itching worse because it'll take off the top layer of skin in the ear canal.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you don't feel like earwax alone would cause tinnitus.
As a general statement, I'm really not that concerned with earwax in the canal, unless it's including the canal or, against the tympanic membrane.
Sandra, do you know when you go to have the wax removed, how deep is it in your canal?
No, I don't.
Is it against the membrane?
I have no idea. Okay. It just comes out and everything feels fine. Well, I thank you. My second one is something very different. My husband is in his middle 80s. When I speak to him or our children speak to him, very often we hear, "What? What did you say? You sound muddled." When I mention to him that perhaps he should have a hearing test, he's not interested. He says he hears well, and he refuses. Am I wrong to think a person who goes, what, frequently should have a hearing test? My husband is listening to the program today, and I would appreciate your response to what I have said. Perhaps you can help me to help him.
Sure.
That's the second one.
We appreciate that. I'm sure this scenario occurs very frequently.
No, that's absolutely correct. In fact, as we get older, we develop, as a general statement, it's not unusual to develop a high-frequency hearing loss. We'll see this potentially very commonly among men also that have either worked around noise or perhaps even had military service early in life. With a high-frequency hearing loss, the individual may hear some sounds wonderfully, yet miss certain high-frequency consonant sounds in our language. The net result, Sandra, is that while he may hear some voices quite well, others not so well, potentially women's voices, children's voices. A lot of times this individual might hear what you're saying, know that you're speaking, mm-hmm. but it'll come across as sounding kind of muddled or muffled, as you'd mentioned. Mm-hmm. In this case, it might be a great idea to have maybe a screening of his hearing, and that way we can figure out if indeed he has a little bit of hearing loss. Your voice is very easy for me to understand. So I don't think I have normal hearing. I don't think you have a speech impairment. So indeed, it may be his hearing. And again, a lot of times when we have this type of hearing loss, we may not be aware of it. So it may come across to him as sounding that you're not speaking distinctively.
Yeah, well, I guess we just have to keep it up, keep trying to get him to do that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's involved with the screening. How would you screen someone like this in their mid-80s? How long does it take? What's involved? Is it an ordeal? Is it simple? Scott?
It's actually quite simple. It takes just a few minutes. Generally involves the individual listening to some sounds, responding when they hear them, in a soundproof booth, preferably. They'll have some earphones on their head or some inserts in their ears, and they'll be hearing sounds through them. And similar to a vision screening, it's very easy, non-invasive, and it yields some important information, and hopefully in your case would answer some questions for him.
Okay, but I guess I'm right then, and anyone who says it frequently, what did you say, there is something going on.
Yes, as a general statement, that's one of the things that certainly leads us to want to do a screening, just to rule out any hearing loss.
Mm-hmm. All right, I won't give up.
All right, keep
it up. Great.
Keep it up, and
thank you.
We'll talk more about as the show goes on. Hopefully, what kind of things? Let's say there is a high. Well, we can talk right now, Scott. Let's say there is a high frequency hearing loss. What's the simplest way to remedy that?
Well, depending on the degree of the loss, if it's enough, there are some great hearing aids available today that address that directly. If it's a milder loss, we might look at maybe communication strategies. For instance, anytime you're working with someone or trying to communicate with someone with hearing loss, whether they're wearing hearing aids or not, it's a good idea to look at them, to speak a little bit more slowly. In fact, as we get older, with the older members of our society, it's a great idea to speak a little bit more slowly anyway, because as we get older, we don't process things as fast as we did when we were younger or as quickly. So speak a little bit more slowly. Try to look at them. It's very important not to try to carry on a conversation from another room. We all try to do that, but that doesn't work, particularly when someone has a little bit of hearing loss. So we look at communication strategies, assistive listening devices like a headset for the TV, a wireless headset, maybe an amplified telephone. If these assistive devices are not quite enough to help the person accommodate with the hearing loss, then certainly hearing aids. There are some very, very effective hearing aids today for this type of hearing loss.
Now, one other question on this, and I think we might have lost Sandra, but some people, we all are aware of there's some incredible technology out there with hearing aids. But how about people that maybe cannot afford the Cadillac, the most advanced technologies? Are there some more moderately priced hearing aids for those that find themselves with a high frequency loss?
Absolutely. In fact, I've been thrilled in the last couple of years. Several of the major manufacturers of hearing aids have come out with products at their entry-level pricing that are just phenomenal, and it wasn't always that way. Mm-hmm. As recently as maybe 4 or 5 years ago, you really had to spend thousands of dollars to get a high-quality hearing instrument, and you can still spend a tremendous amount of money today potentially on hearing aids, but the great news is you don't have to. There are some excellent products at the entry level pricing, and that thrills me.
Excellent.
Today.
On the line is Penny. Penny, you have. Well, first I'd like to welcome you to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you.
Okay, and now you've had a similar problem as last caller as far as the husband or about the wax situation?
I was just going to say that I know what the woman is going through who was saying that her husband is reticent to think about anything as a matter with his hearing. He is in his mid-80s, she said.
Yes.
I went through that in my early 60s. And it was a little bit of a hurdle to decide that I really did need hearing aids. However, the muffled condition went away, and the hearing is so much more improved. Movies are better. Going to live theater is so much better. It's just and my husband doesn't need to yell for me to understand him.
Okay, that's excellent. Now, so you were resistant at first. Was it because you weren't acknowledging it? Your family had to convince you? You weren't aware of it yourself?
No, I knew. I knew that okay. I had a problem. It was just the stigma of mm-hmm. hearing aids. Mm-hmm. But I have wonderful ones that you can't even see. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, that whole negative feeling is gone now. So I think people need to approach hearing loss more positively.
It sounds like it made a significant impact in your life.
Yes.
Once you went ahead and corrected that hearing deficit.
Right. Absolutely.
And so you would encourage this previous caller and the husband to move ahead and have the hearing screening performed.
Right.
Excellent.
That's absolutely right.
And now, so how many years now have you worn your hearing aids?
And then the second brand, it's been about 4 years.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, about 4 years. These are called Oticon, and they are just wonderful little hearing aids. They're very, very small. Easy to handle. There's no, you don't need to take care of them in any way. You just replace a battery.
Excellent.
Every 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. All right. Any other advice you'd like to share with the previous caller, or for that matter, other listeners who are trying to deal with the same or dealing with the same problem?
Right. I know also that when you do get hearing help with hearing devices, that you don't yell as much either, because as you start going a little bit deaf, I find that a lot of my friends talk loudly because I guess they can't hear themselves as well as they.
That's
used.
Right. That's right. Very good. Good points, Penny.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, some good stuff. All right. So let's see. Let's go back to. Let's talk about some practical things. And before we do that, again, I'd like to get the phone number out there so others can join in and share their thoughts, ask a question, or make a comment. Here in Hillsborough County, it's 289-1860. Outside of Hillsborough County, it's toll-free 877-969-8600. And call now with your questions. So, Scott, tell us, would you explain, there's another anatomical tube, I guess, that's part of this hearing system. That's called the Eustachian tube. Would you explain to the patient, to the listeners, how that's involved with hearing?
Sure, absolutely. The Eustachian tube runs from the back of the throat to the middle ear. It helps maintain the pressure in the middle ear, keep it the same as the outside pressure. The Eustachian tube is the tube that is opening and closing, for instance, if we're on a mountain road or descending on an airplane. When it's closed, we'll develop a pressure in the middle ear, and when it pops open, then the pressure is normalized. Problems can occur when the tube doesn't open up again. For instance, if we have a sinus infection, routinely some of that infection may get into the Eustachian tube, or pressure is placed upon the Eustachian tube and the tube's unable to open, and we may develop a middle ear infection at that point, or what's often called fluid in the ears. We see that commonly in children, and a lot of that in children has to do with the angle of the Eustachian tube in the young skull, but we see it a lot in adults too.
Okay, so, and we only have about 30 seconds to break. But so if we're descending in an airplane, the Eustachian tube tends to close?
Yes, that's correct. So we want to open and close our mouth or chew gum or yawn.
And that's to
open it.
Okay, so yeah, is that from the pressurization in the cabin?
Yes,
tends to close
that's
that?
Correct. That's correct. And if possible, we want to keep that pressure normalized.
So is there a good way to prevent that, as you said, other than chewing gum or yawning or...
Certainly. if someone is predisposed to eustachian tube difficulty with sinus infection, for instance, or allergies, it's often recommended, I believe, by ear, nose, and throat physicians to use some type of nasal spray prior to the flight.
Like a decongestant?
Sure.
All right. And with that, break time. We'll be back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call us now, 289-1860. Be right back.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. The best way to prepare yourself for what's coming up after the midterm election is to subscribe to Town Hall Magazine. Now, more than ever, you'll need Town Hall Magazine's fresh, intelligent reporting to dissect the meaning of the 2010 midterms and how the new landscape will affect the economy, taxes, immigration, and health care in 2011, and set the stage for the presidential elections in 2012. Log on to townhallmagazine.com today. Find out about a very special free bonus with your subscription. Townhallmagazine.com.
Attention, Tampa. Your neighbors are talking about it. Your coworkers are talking about it. Even your broker is talking about it.
Hey, Phil, I'm a big fan of yours. Great teacher.
Phil, thank you very much. I personally want to thank you for saving me a fortune at the end of 05.
Never miss your show, and if a house is on fire, I don't leave till the show is over.
You've been really great for me. I've been with you for about 5 years, and I've just moved to a new level of trading.
Find out what everybody's talking about. Join Phil Grandy and Phil's Gang. 3 to 4 on Tampa's Talk Radio 860 WGUL. And at philsgang.com.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Their mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit FocusOnFemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702. Thank you.
Host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. He has written a best-selling, award-winning book, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome, published by Yale University Press. Dr. Maskin manages dry eye disorders using, when needed, innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has successfully managed difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He has been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2010. And as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America, we hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you have not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Today it's reversing your hearing loss with guest expert audiologist Dr. Scott Sims of the Physician's Choice Hearing and Dizziness Center in Tampa, Florida and Sun City, Florida. And we've covered a lot of ground today, Scott, and thank you for that. And let's use our remaining several minutes talking about tinnitus. And before we start that, again, our phone number here to call in with a question is 289-1860, 289-1860. That's in Hillsborough County. Outside of the Hillsborough, it's 877-969-8600. So call now to get your question in before the hour's up. Tinnitus, what are the three major causes of ringing in the ear or tinnitus?
Sure. Tinnitus is a very common problem. Up to 20 million Americans actually experience this at some time in their lives.
It's a huge number then.
It is. And in some cases, it's very minor. And in some cases, it's very invasive and very problematic, causing a lot of anxiety or stress in preventing people to sleep, their ability to sleep, for instance, keeping them up at night or making it very difficult for them to focus on activities. It can be very, very, very unpleasant, potentially. Very many causes, as I mentioned earlier, a couple dozen potential causes. It's often a common side effect of a lot of pharmaceutical medications, for instance. It can be caused by stress, anxiety, difficulties.
Inflammation?
Sure, inflammation, dental problems, issues with the jaw, potentially, like TMJ or temporal mandibular joint issues, difficulties in the spine, particularly cervical spine, and finally hearing loss. It's a common side effect of hearing loss or damage to the auditory system.
And you said before, though, there's a final common pathway of actually what's causing or what's felt to be causing this ringing. And you compare it to the phantom leg syndrome. Would you explore that a little bit?
Sure. Sure. 80% of the time, the tinnitus is occurring at the level of the brain. And it's very similar to what we think of as, in some cases, as what we think of as phantom leg syndrome, where perhaps the person has had, an individual may have had a leg amputated, yet their knee still itches. And that's what we're seeing a lot of times if it's damaged, for instance, to the hair cells, those delicate hair cells we talked about earlier in the inner ear. Hair cell damage, they may not be able to actually hear a particular sound if it's actually occurring in the outside world. Yet the brain often, I think of it as the brain trying to fill in gaps in information, and it'll actually create that sound in the brain where the person's actually hearing it, even though the sound's not occurring.
And you mentioned as far as therapies, one particular therapy that might be effective.
Sure. In that particular case, although there are lots of different therapies that have been effective for tinnitus, that particular case, we're seeing a lot of exciting results with a treatment called Neuromonix.
Can you spell that?
Sure. That's N-E-U-R-O-M-O-N-I-C-S, Neuromonix.
That's a pill?
No, it's actually it's a treatment,
okay.
And they do have a website, so people can Google that and they can find it. And what's fascinating about it, it's a relatively new therapy, but what's fascinating about it is in cases where that therapy is successful, neural pathways are changed so that from in successful cases, the debilitating negative aspects of tinnitus are minimized. In fact, when the person hears their tinnitus, it actually is changed to create a sort of relaxation. So
like a behavioral modification?
It's part behavioral and part neurological. The individual actually works with a device and hears the sound of their tinnitus replicated by this device. It looks similar to an MP3 player or a Walkman. And the tinnitus is laid under a soothing or relaxing music. And through this process, when it's successful, again, when the people hear their tinnitus, it becomes a soothing or relaxing stimulus for them.
Okay. So is there any – this is an excellent suggestion for people that are suffering with tinnitus. Is there any or any pharmaceutical therapy for it, or is this right now the only approach that has been shown to have be successful?
We don't have any research supporting any pharmaceuticals or supplements at this point. However, there are many treatments that have been successful for tinnitus, ranging from the neuromonics approach that I just mentioned to relaxation therapy. Psychology sometimes has seen success.
I got to interrupt. 10 seconds, last-minute take-home message in a few words.
Sure, thank you. Just there are excellent treatments today for hearing loss and tinnitus.
Be seen, be evaluated, and reverse your hearing loss.
That's right.
Excellent.
Thank you, doctor.
Thank you, Scott. Okay, next Sunday on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, it's prostate cancer treatment. Treating your prostate cancer. We'll be looking at different forms of treatment with guest expert urologist Dr. Chandler Doerr. In the meantime, this is Steve Mask inviting you to have a wonderful and healthy week. See you next Sunday on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Bye-bye.
I'm Chris Gould, General Manager for Salem Communications, and the 2010 midterm elections are over and the results are in. Republicans have taken a majority of the House of Representatives, and they've done so in dramatic fashion. 239 seats now rest in favor of the Republicans, and in our great state of Florida, Rick Scott will serve as our governor. There are many other significant Republican wins all around the state, and yet the words of Marco Rubio, our newest U.S. Senator, truly resonate. In his acceptance speech, he said, quote, "We make a great mistake if we believe the results are somehow an embrace of the Republican Party. What they are is a second chance for Republicans to be what they said they were going to be not so long ago." Well, that's very well said, Marco, and I'd ask that we all pray for our newest leaders and all of our leaders, that they'd serve with honesty and integrity, and that we'd keep them accountable this time. I'm Chris Gould.
Your choice for intelligent talk. Talk Radio 860 WGUL, Dunedin, Tampa Bay.